message is make the most of every moment. I read a little story about a king who was giving award to four very prestigious individuals. And as I was reading that, somehow it reminded me of my dad, my father. What happened was, the king presented, or rather somebody presented four prestigious individuals. One is a philanthropist who generously gave his heart to the poor. Another one is a doctor who has always been kind to the patient, walking extra mile, doing all that he should do for the lives of the people. The third person was a judge, a very fair judge and a very committed judge. But the fourth person, as the king was looking, was just an elderly woman who appeared nothing but just normal. But he saw in her eyes there was love, and he could see her heart, there is humility. Then the king asked, "Who is this woman?" And the man who introduces the three of the great prestigious men said, "This woman is their teacher. This teacher has given her life to teach these three men who has become great people today." And as I was reading that, I can't help it but to go back many years ago when I was with my dad. Everyone knows my dad was only a teacher, a secondary school teacher, teaches English, and also a discipline master in school, in charge of the prefects. One day, as he has already retired, was staying with me, he brought me to Singapore to meet one of his students who graduated in the 60s. And as I walked into this building, lo and behold, I saw a gigantic office. Half of this hall was his own personal office. He happens to be a multimillionaire, and he happens to be my dad's student. He has invited my dad to Singapore to have lunch, and so I came along with him because I was his driver. I had the privilege of meeting this man, a very nice, humble man, who personally took my dad for lunch. And he spoke to me and said, "Your dad has taught me to improve my English because we were in the Chinese vernacular school. We only speak Chinese more than English, but he has lifted up the standard in our school. And so we did very well and we were able to achieve our dreams." Few years after, there was another student whom I knew personally. He was sitting in the classroom in my house where my father was giving tuition, English tuition. This young man happens to be in his he was doing his major exam in the 70s. And after the exam, he was a second top student, 8 A1s and 1 A2. There were 9 subjects. The top student had all 9 A1s. And so this student was given a scholarship to study in U.S. And then he graduated as a nuclear scientist. Not many years after, he came to this village where my dad lives. That's our family home. A little small village, a little small house. He would have his driver drive in the village with 2 bodyguards walking straight to my dad's home and presented a gift to my dad and said to him, and said, "Because you have trained me and taught me, as I was in this Chinese vernacular school, you have lifted up our standard, and today I can fulfill my dream." When I begin to look back all of this while I was preparing this message, I can't help it but to realize that we all, fully given people into our hands, that we ought to make full use of our time and moment of life to build into these lives. And today I can truly and honestly say, the lives that were given to me, and I had the opportunity to raise these people and to help and grow them and help them to live a life worthily before God. Four of them have raised a church. Two other leaders have raised a church. And one more became a preacher and a great leader in one of the church. This is one of the joy when I go back to Malaysia. I get to see these people whom God has given to me to do all that I should do for their lives. And because of this great story, I want to bring your attention to this particular passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14 to 20. To verse 14 to 30, it's about the parable of the talents. We all heard this story before, we all heard this parable. But today I want to bring to your attention. This parable was told to us right after the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable was spoken to the people right after chapter 24 that spoke about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We must understand the parable of the talent is not about the subject of your abilities, but it's about making the most of every moment of your life before the coming of Jesus. And as I look at it, the question that I ask myself, what do I do while waiting? The parable is so vital. How do I spend my life while waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ? I'm called to an active, vigorous life. I'm called into a vital living. I'm called into a life of God's kingdom that will take risk in every situation. Because Christ is coming. And that is a clear message and a mandate and a call and a trumpet, because Christ is coming. The parable of the talent applies. An audible call for attention to every one of us. This parable was written on the basis of the coming of Jesus Christ. If you believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is vital for all of us to make the most of every moment. Somebody say it. A German proverb says this: begin to weave and God will give you the thread. When you begin to take action in your life, God will provide you all the necessary time and resources that you need to weave yourself into your future. I like what Chuck Swindoll says. He challenges the believers to live with excellence, to go the second mile, to stop making excuses for non-performance, to turn our faith into deeds that change the world. I believe that we are called to change our society. But before we do and change our society, we are called to change our family. We are called to pursue our excellence. We ought to take care more than other people. We ought to risk more than other people. We ought to dream more than other people. We ought to expect more than other people. If I expect one project, I pray that you will expect greater projects and more. Some of us, unfortunately, we are bugged by many emotional uncertainties. We are bugged by not only uncertainties, but we are also bugged by some questions, such as, what if I try and I don't succeed? What will my friends think of me? What will my critics say about my work? What will happen to my reputation? They thought I'm a macho man, but they say, you believe in God? There are some famous words that I could hear ringing in my ears, written by some great man of old. Theodore Roosevelt has mentioned and said these words, "For better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checked by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much because they live in a gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat." And that summarizes what Robert Schuller says. "I'd rather attempt to do something great and fail than to attempt to do nothing." Knowing Christ will return very soon. Somebody say amen. Amen. Knowing Christ will return very soon. Let me today introduce to you this very important parable, which I have discovered four important truths written in these passages. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14 to 13. As I read, it's a long passage, so bear with me. As I read them, please follow with me. It is said here, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest.'" Listen to that one more time. "At my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I discovered 4 major facts. The first one is that all 3 servants were judged by how well they manage someone else's resources. I repeat, as you can see in the slide. All 3 servants were judged by how well, not by how much, but how well they manage someone else's resources. There is a common understanding among the three. The master loaned them the money. This talent has nothing to do with abilities. This talent specifically mentioned, it is all about the investment. But I want to draw your attention more than just those investments. We must understand it is God's resource for you and I. The master loaned it to you. They knew it was owned by the master. And there was a power of entrusting. They were given the money, each accordingly. There was the word entrusted. The first two men knew that God or the master had entrusted unto them. You know, when somebody entrusts you to do something, there is something that inside of you should be a response. And that response should be out of respect, out of submission, and out of a conscious concern about the authority. Who is the owner? The master. He entrusted to them. Therefore, they ought to manage. We are managers of God's property. Faithful servants must do something about whatever God placed in their hands. They do not receive it and keep it aside and not do anything. The two first servants took it, and the Bible says they immediately went in and trade them. The faithful servant did something what the Lord has placed in their hands. Brothers and sisters, learn one thing today. When the master entrusts the responsibilities, there will be a call for accountability. Are you there with me? Tell somebody, God is speaking. God is speaking. Amen? It is important that we observe this parable with the right perspective. You must understand that we are his tenants. We are his servants. We do not own those that he placed in our lives. And because of that, we should not run away from our responsibilities. We must handle everything that God has given to us because we are accountable for all that we are going to do. Sooner or later, at his coming, he says it's going to come for his own plus interest. Plus, come on, say the word loud and clear, plus interest. And not only accountability, but everything that is placed in our hands is also filled with divine purpose. God gave you something, someone, or whatever he has placed in your hands with a divine purpose. It's not without any purpose or reasons. Life is a gift. Somebody say amen. God gave us life. Amen? God gave us life. How do you use that life? How do you use that life? How do you handle the things that God has given to you? Listen very carefully today. This is so important. How do you handle your husband? How do you handle your wife? How do you handle your children? How do you handle your career? How do you handle your education? How do you handle your business? How do you handle? God has given all that into your hands. How do you handle? Let me give you one revelation today, and I'll tell you honestly, you will either change your life or you will continue to live with that. How you handle your family will either close the door from the enemy or will open the door for the enemy. Are you there with me? The family that God placed in our hands to protect, to cover, to preserve, All depends on how you handle them, because the way you're handling them is going to determine whether the enemy can get in to your family. Family in crisis, family are corrupted, family are being destroyed because we have allowed the devil to come in. How do you handle your family? How do you handle your resource? It's so crucial for us to think about. Now, before I leave this point with you, you look at verse 15. The text says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Are you with me? The second point is this. The servants were all given according to their own ability. Are you there? I believe the owner is a wise man. I believe the owner is a very smart man, even though he's wealthy. It simply tells me this, that what you have right now, what you have is a clear indication that God gave you within the power of your ability. Did you hear what I said? God always gives according to how much you can handle. I do not know whether you're listening to this or not. Are you there with me? Amen? God gave you something, or how much that you have right now is according to how much you can handle. How much you can handle. But the issue is this. It is more than your ability to handle. It involves your attitude to handle. A lot of time we handle with our abilities. We didn't handle with our attitude. You see, our ability manages God's resources. But it's our attitude that mismanages the resources. Can I say that one more time? Are you listening? Tell your neighbor, he's speaking to all of us. Our ability manages God's resources. Our attitude mismanages the resources. And you know something, friends? This attitude issue is going to either grow the resources or it will lose the resources. Our manageability determines by attitude. Someone said this, and I quote to you. Bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, it will never take you anywhere. Isn't it true? Another person says this. Ability is what you are capable in doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitudes determine how well you do it. So you know something? God gave us according to our ability. I'll tell you what. Don't complain. Don't complain. Oh, no, it's so difficult. I don't know why, God. You gave me so many things. I can't handle it. God doesn't give you anything beyond what you can handle. Listen to me one more time. God did not give you anything beyond what you can handle. I believe that what he has given you, you got to realize that you can handle in the strength of the Lord, as long as you allow him to change your attitude. Oh, I like this. Amen? Praise God. Somebody is saying, yep, he's speaking about me now. He's speaking about me. Amen? You know, this man says, if you are given little, you make the most of the little you've got. I don't know how much you have. I do not know what you have. But I believe whatever you have, you should always use it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because Luke chapter 12 verse 48 tells us this. For everyone who has given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. The reason why, based on this text, I begin to realize why people don't get much. You know why? Because we are not ready. We are not ready to fulfill what is required of us. We are not ready to take the responsibilities. We are not ready to take the pressure and the stress. And so we complain and say, I can't handle it. Within each responsibility, there is an attitude that is always attached to it. When God gave me the responsibility, it wasn't easy. As far as human beings and lives are in front of me, it will never be easy. Are you there with me? How many of you agree with what I just said? Amen. How many of you agree and say, I'm part of that? Okay. And the third thing is this. The multiplication, I saw the multiplication doubled in the hands of the first two servants. It shows a very powerful message. It unveils the truth. You see, this is one of these points you mustn't miss out. All right? Listen carefully. There is a powerful and positive result whenever God plays His resource into your hands. Listen to this. There will always be positive and powerful results. There will be great results awaiting the moment God places it in your hands. Okay? It's simply because God designed in us to be fruitful. Never in the Bible that tells me that God will design anyone to be fruitless. Are you with me? He designed in us to be fruitful. You see, the opposite of fruitfulness is fruitlessness. Amen? This is very good English. Come on. Fruitlessness is also known as barrenness. You see, you got another better English teacher there. And barrenness is not just a subject of not producing results or infertile or fruitless, but barrenness, as far as I look from the scripture point of view, simply says lack of blessing. And many people have fallen into fruitlessness. I want to show you there are many different ways, different doorways to enter into barrenness. Are you there? Are you ready? First of all, the moment you walk contrary to the ways of God, you can be rest assured you're entering into the doorway of barrenness. Because God is the one who grants fruitfulness. Amen? And if you walk in contrary or opposite of the ways of God, then don't expect fruitfulness. Secondly, barrenness can also be a result of rejection. You may be rejected directly or indirectly. That was poured out against you from others. That's why when people are very much rejected by their friends, they are very lonely and they suffer quick depression. And when they are depressed, they will not be fruitful. Sometimes the rejection is not from others. The rejection was from you. You rejected others and Christ. That rejection simply tells me that there is such a great lack of trust towards God. That is why you rejected. And during this time of rejection, sometimes you may be rejected by parents. Now, when that actually takes place, you actually suffer what I call the orphan spirit. You live by yourself. You hide yourself with the wounds and the hurts within you. Those rejection that you kept inside your spirit, man, and soul begin to eat you and consume all your potentials. At the same time, this is not just a spirit of offering because you have been rejected from parents or grandparents or what whosoever. But there is another doorway that will cause you to barrenness, which I improvise the term. I call it the spirit of poverty, which is also known as the spirit of infirmity, derives from self-destruction. You destroy your own self. You curse your own life. You cut your life. You do everything to curse your own being. I am lousy. I am bad. I am cruel. I am evil. That's who I am. You curse yourself. And when you curse yourself, don't expect fruits to come out in the future. Because curses kills the roots. Sometimes when I sit down with people and I ask you and ask them, do you know what God wants from you? I don't know. Do you know what God desires of you? I don't know. Do you know what God intends to do in your life? I don't know. Do you know that God loves you? I don't know. Do you know that God cares for you? I don't know. This is a spirit of infirmity. They have destroyed themselves to the point that the curse that they poured upon their lives, consciously or unconsciously, have become a stronghold. And so, that become a perfect design for fruitlessness. You see, church, God never designed in you to become fruitless. Because the Bible tells me from Prophet Jeremiah, he was told to go to the potter who makes the clay. Every time when the clay that represents who you are, that doesn't fit the plan of God, that's not going to be a beautiful vessel, that's not going to be a blessing in God, he wrecked it up and reshaped again. Isn't it true? You see, the intention of God wrecking it up and reshaping again is simply to tell you that he wants to design in you to be the best. You can never be a fruitless individual unless your attitude desires so. I pray today that none of us will submit to this barrenness, because that is not God's design. Lastly, somebody say amen. I'm coming to my last point. Tell your neighbor, it says, God is speaking to me now. Amen. God is speaking to me. And in verse 24, in looking at the last point, the third man assumed that he knew his master, but he actually did not. You see, verse 24, he says, I knew you are a hard man. I knew you. But he was wrong. You see, I want you to look at this passage. When the master questioned the servant, he gave this excuse. He says, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Do you know something, church? How you perceive God is going to affect your attitude towards God. Are you there with me? How you perceive God. Little or no trust in God if you perceive wrongly. The servant considered the master unjust. So what did he do? He said, you're a hard man. What do I do then? I go and hide my talent. You see, a lot of time, many of us do not trust in God. We spoke about it. We talk about it. But by live action, we fail. Because when you trust in the Lord, you will do what he has given to you. Somebody say amen. Whatever that is entrusted, you will not procrastinate, but you will take every action. You will not give excuses, but you will take every action and say, this is what I'm called to do. This is what God has given to me. Therefore, I must do what he says. Oh, I do not know about you, but I'm getting excited about this. Amen? You know, in Malaysia, we say it's getting a bit hot now. It's getting a bit hot right now. Yes, yes. Way back in school, I sat down with my wife one day and we talked about certain subjects in school that we didn't do well. And there's one common reason. The common reason was this. We didn't like the teacher. The reason why we never do well in one particular subject is, but then before that, the same subject we did very well because we liked the teacher. But when the teacher has changed, we never liked the other teacher, we decided not to do well. Strange, isn't it? Sometimes our perception of the person affects our attitude towards our responsibilities. What made the servant think that the master is unjust? Have you ever thought about that? What made the servant think that the master is unjust? There is nothing in the parable that directly tells me that it was pointing to the master's unfairness. And I was just thinking through, and then behold, I read something and I thought, wow. And I checked on with some other preachers, and many of them missed this out. And there's one person who saw the same, and I say, wow, that is the right thing. I just need some endorsement, all right? One possible cause was this. He was given the less talent. He was given less talents than the other two. And I thought this could be the clear sign in regards to his feeling that this is unfair. This is unfair. He gets more than me. He gave that guy five, he gave that two. Why can't he give me three or four? Suddenly, the servant became a loser. You know, those younger days, whenever we see somebody that really we feel he's a real loser, we always do like, hello, loser, Anthony, hello. You know, when a person feels like that, it has this all for me syndrome. This is a disease. A disease that we often ask, how come I didn't get? How come you have all this privilege? How come you have that? How come he gave you this? How come he worked for you? He did this for you. How come? Pride. A very subtle pride that is now simmering inside, that is dangerous enough to warp our perspective, to distort our perspective. You see, the less you know God, the less you understand God. So it is very clear that this servant doesn't know God, doesn't know his master. If he knew his master, he would have understood his master. The Bible says he gave according to their abilities. Not the amount. It's about our abilities to handle. You see, our action is very much affected by what we believe in. If you and I come alongside and stay in my house for a week, I will watch you live your life. You can't deceive me, because that 1 week itself, I can watch through and through who you are. And I can conclude that what you believe is affecting what you do. So in other words, by what you do every day, I can see what you believe in. The question is, how much do you believe in God? How much do you believe in God? The third man thought he knew the master, but he did not. And you know what? He ended up losing everything. Sounds scary, isn't it? If you think you know him, some people know the written word, but they do not know the living word. Can I say that one more time? Some people know the written word, but many of them do not know the living word. And because this third man, he thought he knew the master, and ending up his life losing everything. That means to say, brothers and sisters, our everyday living tells about our Christian living. Amen? Our everyday living tells about our Christian living. This parable is very much linked to the coming of Jesus Christ. If you and I believe so, please be reminded, Jesus is coming again. Are you there with me? Jesus is coming again. I repeat that. Jesus is coming again. And this parable was written with that purpose. Since he is coming, what are you doing? When I was young, as I said, my dad is a very disciplined man. When I knew my dad was coming home, I oftentimes get ready for whatever that will please him. And one of the things that will please my dad is always for him to see me sitting right in front of the desk with the book open, pretending that I'm studying. That's my dad. When he comes, he wants to see me studying. And I, being a very, very, very much involved with sports, he doesn't like that. I don't know why. But later on, I realized that he loves sports. And I was pretty annoyed by asking him the question, why do you discipline me for playing games? He smiled at me. That's all he could do. But what I realized is this. Every one of us, the moment we heard, Dad is coming, what do? You quickly brush up, or maybe spruce up, whatever. Do everything. And some of you went, my brother one time, he was climbing this, you know, this guava tree, this little jambu, we call them, yeah, guava tree. He was climbing up neighbor's tree, not ours, neighbor's trees. Climbed up and plucked them to eat while he was sitting on a tree. He was enjoying that. Lo and behold, he saw Dad's car coming by. And he was driving through and he saw Dad is coming. Dad didn't see him because Dad was concentrating while driving into the village. And so he let my dad drive through right to the front of the house. He quickly jumped down, went to the back of the house and tried to pretend that everything was okay. That's what we always do, isn't it? The little kids always pretend that we are okay when we heard Dad coming. I want you to know it's a very similar situation. There is this common agreement that all these three men knew that the master would come back, isn't it? All the three men knew he would come back. And when he came back, he demanded an accounting. The first two person focus on the owner's generosity because he has a different perspective. The third person, who knew or thought that he knew that the master is a hard man, he started to hide
The servant has a loser's mentality. And sometimes we who have the loser's mentality, we oftentimes say, I wish I can. You know what the third man was called? The Bible says God called him worthless servant. Not me, the Bible. And he was rejected by his master. As much as you and I know that the sheep is safe when it's anchored in the harbor, but that's not what the sheep are meant to be. I pray that you, whom God created, are designed to be fruitful. You are never designed to be fruitless. So please, make the most of every moment in your life. Whatever opportunities you have, sow it into people's lives. Bless their hearts. Not within your abilities, but within your attitude. I close today and encourage you to be a fruitful servant by reminding you these four aspects. Are you ready to manage God's resources over your lives? Somebody said, yes, I have God's resources. Now I'm going to ask you, are you ready to manage it? Secondly, you are given much according to His infinite wisdom and grace. And success is very much determined, not by how much you have, but by how committed you are towards the owner of everything. What sort of attitudes do you have? If you decide today to remain where you were before, that's the end of your future. I'm serious. Because this message will either turn you around and say, yes, I need that change in order to see fruitfulness in my life. Time to change. Somebody say amen. Amen. Third thing, God expects much and much can be produced because we are designed for it. Nobody in this room are designed to be fruitless. No one in this room are designed to be barren. You are designed to be fruitful. For those who decided that they think they have a lot of excuses not to be in the presence of God, then remain fruitless. Are you with me? Remain fruitless. Because God has stated very clearly in the scripture, we are called to be fruitful. No excuses great enough to tell me that God doesn't care for you. Amen. If you believe in fruitfulness, then come unto Him. The fourth thing, do we actually know our Maker? Do we truly know? Because ultimately, we can tell. We can tell a lot about what we believe in by what you do. We can tell every time when you make your life available, we can tell what you believe in. Likewise, in relationship, how you handle the resource, the blessings, the gifts, and all the talents God has given you, how do you handle them will determine whether the door will be open unto fruitfulness or whether the door will be open for the enemy. It all depends. So I'm saying to you, as I have forewarned you, when you hear this message, somebody will say, I don't like it because he's talking about me. You know why? Because the Bible speaks to us. The Bible always speaks to us. And because I know the scripture is so crucial for my everyday life, I will not dare to walk against His ways. I will be cautious to do with my utmost best, with the imperfect life, with the right attitude, as much as I know and I learn. I say, Father, lead me on. Church, we are called to change the society. God has given us in our hands to speak life into people's hearts. As I read earlier how my dad changed lives, even though he was not a believer at the time, but he was a moral, good man, a teacher. And I've discovered one thing being a preacher is to take every soul precious and groom them and help them to live a victorious Christian life. When you have that, as I've seen, five of my staff, four of them is running a church. Two of my leaders is now leading a church. And one more is a leader and a preacher for his Chinese church. I pray today that we will not fall into barrenness. Let us get out and say, Father, you placed everything in my hands. I believe I will immediately trade in your resources and multiply them. Somebody said, amen. Amen. Turn around to your neighbor and say, that's a good word for us. Come on, turn around to your neighbor and say, that's a good word for us. If you believe that, would you say amen to that? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want to take this time to give us an opportunity to make the turnaround and say, Lord, that's it. This is the moment of truth. I'm going to make the most of every moment to get up from barrenness, to get up from rejection, to get up from the curse, so that I can remain fruitful in the kingdom of God. You know, people are barren without realizing it. It's because sometimes we speak too much curses upon our own lives. We speak too much of saying, no, I'm bad, I'm cruel. And on the other hand, the other extreme, some people are too proud and say, I'm so good. I'm very good. Without me, Pastor, you cannot do anything. But I thought the Bible says, apart from him, I cannot do anything than you. Somebody saying, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.